Passover lasts 7 days, 8 days, 7 days. And this is the Sabbath of the Passover. And this is the day that the walls of Jericho fell down. This is the day that Israel is betrothed to God. This is the day that the rabbis have all kinds of interesting sayings about this day, and let me see if I can summarize a few of them. Do all of you know who Rabbi Akiva was? Anybody know who Rabbi Akiva was?
He started the Bar Kokhba.
Yeah, that's right.
He was the spiritual leader in the Bar Kokhba rebellion in AD 135.
Was he the one who was wrapped in the Torah?
Probably, but not for sure. He said, the entire world from the beginning until now does not outweigh, the entire world and everything that has been done and been accomplished in the world does not outweigh the day in which the Song of Songs was given. But there's an interesting thing in his commentary. He says he was given to Israel, and then he goes on to explain. He says, no, wasn't given to him. He said, was understood by Israel. And so the day that you understand the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, is the day that everything is complete. Everything is finished. He said that, another one, let me read another one. A man took a bushel of his finest wheat to a baker and instructed him to turn it into one morsel of the best. Now, it wasn't a bushel, it's a seah, which is about, 46 bushels? So all the wisdom of Solomon and of the world is to the Song of Songs. In other words, everything else in the world pales in importance to this understanding of this scripture. They say that the Bible or the Torah is equivalent to the temple. And then if the Bible is equivalent to the temple, then the Song of Songs is equivalent to the Holy of Holies. Everything stopped for the reading of this. It wasn't read, it was sung. Does anybody remember how many Levites were in the choir?
16,000.
14,000 to 16,000, that's. Can you imagine 16,000 Levites who had practiced the entire year, really their entire life, to sing this one song?
Cool.
No. You could stand any place in the temple and hear it perfectly. And this was sung, and it was a responsive.
Oh wow! Mm. Hands in the Korean bar.
Every time that you have ever had a sense of longing for love or horniness or whatever it is in you, it's a sense. It's your heart in truth longing for this completion of the understanding of this. There is no other, if you can understand this, then for you, you can finally be at rest. Because this will so totally and completely destroy any other idolatry within you that it makes everything else seem meaningless. Now, it says it's the Song of Songs. So the rabbis make a big deal of that. Song is one and songs is two, so it's three. And it celebrates before that Israel can be called out and betrothed to God. She first must be delivered from the world, and then from Babylon, and then from Edom. She has to be delivered from Edom as the flesh. So she has to be delivered from the world, from false religion, and from the flesh. Now, the Song of Songs was sung by the, as I said, during the intervening Sabbath. It celebrates the choice of Israel as his spouse. It's always been regarded by the sages as an allegory depicting his love of Israel for God. It's the vivid record, and it's a progressive record of the loving exchange between a man and a woman, but in reality it's between God and his bride. Now, after the natural was, Solomon wrote this. Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. And he's alleged to have said that he wished that all of them would have been destroyed except this one. It records, in the natural, it records the longing and the final completion of Solomon for this princess. That was not really a princess. She was from a small town in Egypt. Her parents were shepherds. She's Egyptian. She's Shulamite, as you'll see. But she's obviously in the world. And she is, because of her beauty, she is captured by a false prince. And she rejects the palaces, she rejects everything, and then returns to her shepherd love. It's pretty neat stuff, if you understand. It says in the first, well, the Song of Solomon, we'll read it, says, I was asleep, but my heart waked. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. And then Israel says, I was asleep in the world, in the captivity of the world, and the flesh. My children and I were sore oppressed, but then my heart wakened to preserve them so that they would not perish. Proverbs said, wisdom is always the type of the bride throughout the scriptures, and it's always given a feminine verb form or feminine form. In Proverbs it says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as a hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, the sages said that if you understand the Song of Solomon, you understand all the wisdom of the world. I want to read something out of the Zohar. Everybody know what the Zohar is?
Oh, I don't.
It's supposed to be the most ancient of all books. The ancient Indian Vedas quote the Zohar. It used to be illegal to translate, but not many years ago it was translated. But anyway, let me read it to you. I was asleep, but my heart waked. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. Says the people of God, I was asleep in the captivity of the world. The voice of my beloved saying, open to me, an opening no bigger than the eye of a needle, and I will open to thee the gates of eternity. Open to me, my sister, because you are the door for which there is entrance to me. If you open not, I am closed. Thus it was. And this is an explanation of that. Thus it was that when the Holy One, blessed is he, slew the firstborn in Egypt, at the very time Israel entered into the covenant of the holy sign and linked themselves with the community of Israel by means of the blood which they displayed in the door, the blood of the Passover lamb and the blood of the circumcision, one on one side and one on the other, and one between connecting them to show their faith. On the 14th day, too, they removed the leaven and Israel emerged from the sphere of an alien power and clung to only the unleavened, which is the holy bond that links them to the higher realm of faith called eternity. At the hour of wedlock, when the moon is in full union with the sun, and the lower powers are not found in numbers in the world, for the evil species abound at the new moon and spread throughout the world, but when the moon enjoys the full light of the sun, they all withdraw to a certain place, and the sanctifications of the true king are aroused. At that time it is written, a night of vigils for the Lord, for the holy wedlock takes place, which is the protection for us all. Therefore the adornment or the cosmos of the bride is on that day, and night is visiting of the house. Woe to those that are not of the household when the two Torahs come to unite. Woe unto them that are not present. Therefore, holy Israel, prepare them for the house all that day, and through them the visitors enter, and they rejoice and sing gleefully. I can't read this. It just drives me insane. It's just it's so, I mean,
what are the two Torahs?
The New Jerusalem and us. When it's called the heavenly Matrona and the earthly mother. When the heavenly and the earthly mother unite, each of which contain the Torah, boom, the world explodes.
You know, when you're reading that, it's like, I don't know what scripture is, but you can't see the face of God and live. It's like there's so much light that it's hard to even take it all in or something.
I've been so deceived. I feel like an idiot when I study the Torah. I mean, the Zohar. Right. How can we, for a minute, forget why we're born? How can we for a minute not follow the deepest dictates of our heart, the same as we did when we were that small child? How can we sell out to this idiotic crap that we sell out to today? I look at this that was written thousands of years ago, and we read the Melito of Sardi written thousands of years ago. And I'm just humbled, I feel like I know nothing. Early Christian writers always expressed the knowledge that the Song of Solomon was a celebration of this mystery of Passover, the union or the betrothal of the bride. And we're going to hear, and we read in a minute, as this is the groom speaking, or this is the chorus speaking, excuse me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the hinds in the fields, that you stir not up nor awaken my love until it pleases him. Anybody have any response?
I keep thinking of that song that we sing about the bride, when I will rejoice in you and be glad. probably still your love more than wine.
That's what we'll sing that tonight.
Yeah.
Remind me. All right. That's enough of an introduction. I could talk for 4 hours on this. Song of Solomon. Okay, verse 2 through 4, the women read. Is everybody's Bible marked?
No.
Right. No.
Verse 2 to 4 is the bride. The second half of 4 is the chorus, where it says, we will be glad.
Can you just announce it as we go along? Or?
No.
No. Here, take this one. This one.
What are you going to use?
Jackie's working on it.
Oh.
No. Verse 5 starts the bride again through verse 7. Then verse 8 is the groom. I don't know why the Bibles don't show this. It pisses me off.
Well, somebody's got a marked Bible, but kind of like a leader person.
Well, there's several.
How are you going to be a leader person? What do you mean?
Start talking with the Bible.
I just marked another one. Who needs
the whole thing is only 6 pages long. I mean, it gets perfect.
Okay. Okay, I'll just tell you. Just don't worry about it. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Now the bride, the women.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers.
Stop. Okay, now everybody read the next till the end. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Now the bride.
I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. As the tents of Kedar and the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyards have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou madest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the locks of thy companions?
Okay. I am black. Doesn't mean you're black like your skin is colored, but it's you're black because you've been worshiping false gods. But comely. It means yet within me there is something yet of value. There's something in your heart that cries out, that knows that there is yet something of value, even though we are black from the worship of idols. As the tents of Kedar, are the black, ugly tents on the desert, but inside they're full of pearls and jewels, all manner of precious jewels and silk. That's why, though our outer man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. That's why it's such idiocy to be worried about how the outside looks. It's the inner reality that enlivens you. And then, okay, now verse 8. Groom. Yeah. That means men.
Yeah. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents.
Now, stop a minute. You go by the way, each member goes by the way of the footsteps of the flock, and the footsteps of the flock can only be seen in abandonment. He says he'll take you one of a city and two of a family, or one of a family and two of a city, and bring you to Zion. Zion is always the place where they that trust in the Lord are. And there he will give you shepherds to feed you from his understanding, not ours. Okay,
I've compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses and a chariot.
Okay, why were you compared to a company of horses? Why is the bride compared to the company of horses?
Perfectly.
Because they have horse faces.
They have long, attractive legs.
Because they have good legs.
Me, the best of the word.
First of all, it says, it's interesting. The word for horses there is the Hebrew word for mare. So it's female horses. And it's first, it has to have four characteristics before they could be considered for Pharaoh's court. The first one is that they had to have the proper bloodline. For the your bloodline is Jesus, Messiah. You had to be as comfortable in the palaces. Let me put it another way. You had to be as comfortable with the common folk of Egypt as you would be in the desert, as you would be in the Pharaoh's court. You had to be spirited, which meant that you weren't dragged down by the cares of life and by self-concern. There was a spirited response to the horse. And then it had to have patient endurance, tried integrity, tested. So that's why, that's the characteristics of the bride. Now we are the body or the bride of Christ and members in particular. Okay? The chorus, I'll be a chorus. What the hell?
Thy cheeks are comely with roses and gold.
Alright. Make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. What?
Was that supposed to be the chorus?
No. Now the bride.
While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor, vineyards, and vineyards.
All right.
Didn't you skip?
Yeah.
You skipped a verse.
I read it as chorus.
You read it.
Okay, now, all this thing about the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sends forth the smell thereof, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. Okay. One of the greatest secrets in all of ancient Judaism was the 11 spices that were made, that were created and mixed in a certain specific amounts to make the incense for the altar of incense, which then is the true prayer. So instead of the incense or the fragrance of your prayers, which you may think are sweet, which are meaningless, they're just meaningless garbage. Do you understand your ideas are a dime a dozen? Your deals are infinitely worthless. Your ideas are totally and completely meaningless. That you were created to put forth this oint or this odor from the mystery, but it's the odor of him. Look at what it says. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. It's his table. Alright? And camphor, it should be cypress, it's a bad translation. And the vineyards of En-Gedi is where David hid out in the beautiful vineyards while Saul was trying to kill him. We ought to study this really sometime. You know, every year we do this, we have to blum, 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 blum. Like the horses that...
A horse is patootie.
All right. Groom.
Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou
dove's eyes.
Harmless. Peace.
Innocent.
No, you have dove's eyes because through his mystery he's called forth the innocence that's truly within your soul, within each of you. And that shines forth.
It's like you can see when someone is in a state of weakness, and when they turn instantly, it's like you just, it really just makes them melt.
Yeah.
It's like Judy and I had a talk before Bible study, and for a while it was like we were like, you trying to make a point, trying to, you know, recount, and all of a sudden it just came to this point where it was like she was in just total weakness, and I just melted. It was really cool.
Great. That's what the dove's eyes.
She had these eyes that were like, oh, God, I just grabbed her.
Okay, you got one more verse.
No,
behold,
16
is
right.
No. Oh.
Behold. Behold our affair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys.
As the lily...
Now, wait a minute. We're never going to get through. We got to get through. I'll shut up. Unless you ask me a question.
Okay.
Bride. Number three.
We didn't do two.
We just did, didn't we?
No,
we'll do it then. We mouthed it off.
As the lily among thorns, so is our love among the daughters.
That's neat.
I hate just reading through it until we don't even know what the hell it means.
I agree.
Oh, I feel like I'm being steamrolled.
All right, bride.
As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house,
his banner over me was love. He brought me into his banqueting house,
and I was sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me.
I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor waken my love till he pleases. That should be the chorus. Somebody screwed up.
I got a G. Somebody told me to put a G.
Behold, he cometh leaping upon mountains and skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall, and he looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the earth is come, and the voice of the turtle doth stir in my land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove that are in the clefts of the rocks, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance.
Time out. Okay, verse 13, the second half where it says arise.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That should be the groom.
Yeah.
Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Okay. Now the reason is, the dove that's hidden in the clefts of the rock, that's the word for faith. There's only one word for faith in Hebrew, and that is when you run to the cleft of the rock for safety. And that's the only place that the members of the bride are found. All right?
What was the word
mean? What word?
Cleft is faith.
Cleft doesn't mean faith, but those who run to the cleft of the rock for protection, that's the only word for faith in Hebrew. Okay, now bride, take up 15.
Take us, the foxes and the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether.
Everybody, what? Everybody know what Bether is? This is a good one.
No, it's a road.
No.
It's a deer. The Bether, the mountains are the horizon between time and no time. The mountains of Bethar are the, you know, have you ever been in the desert and, it's sort of a dusk and you see these, a mountain range and, and it looks like there's something over there at sunset? That's what drove all, almost all explorers throughout history. Pioneers have gone west. All of them. Yet the idiots always go east. You go east in your mind, you go west. You understand? If you're settled down as an idiot, then you think it's going to get better tomorrow. The time is going to improve you. But the mystery is always towards the west, toward the mountains of Bethar, the mountains of the vision. Right, and you have to go west symbolically until there are no more horizons. Until there's no more mountains of Bethar that you haven't seen.
Cool.
What do you understand? All right.
Still the bride.
Why the bride? The bride is the bride doing a good job?
Yeah.
Huh?
I did not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not.
No, what that says, I sought him in everything else.
Hoorah!
You know, that's my pinch. Voice the brides. Where are you?
The Watchmen.
Harry caused me. Wait a minute, where are you?
The Watchmen. The Watchmen. Three.
Told you.
The Watchmen.
That go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from him.
No, stop a minute. Stop a minute. Do you understand? Do you understand how many times you've said this? How many times in your head and your heart, starting when you're a teenager? Is that the one? Is that the one?
Oh yeah.
Is that the one?
Visually.
Is that the one? You get married. I found the one. Oh shit. No, you won't.
Too late now.
Am I sure? Am I sure?
I got a frog.
Am I sure?
No. The girl, the women are all saying. The women know what I mean. The women know.
What about the guys? What about the groom?
Are we different?
The groom. The groom is the type. So the heart, that's why women are the romanticists, mostly, except for Harry. The women are the romantic.
You were right the first time.
Just run the court.
The bar.
I know we can make a trade. We'll trade Harry for Barbara. In the groom branding.
All right. But listen to me.
They need somebody.
Listen to me.
Order.
That's why you can never literalize. I mean, all of life, all of the things of life, all boyfriend, girlfriends, all husband, wives, all dating, looking. They all have one goal, and that's to teach you this mystery that's in here. The mystery of the wine, the mystery of the bride. When the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more. This is wisdom. This is understanding. Do you understand me? Please. Don't literalize a parable anymore. Don't think that your sustenance is going to come from a person. It's going to come from seeing this mystery. And giving yourself over, losing your significance into the mystery. Is that Melitos?
It's because you know when you're stuck in your own flesh, you can't even get it there, so how do you expect to get it from someone else?
Yeah.
When you hate your own flesh, and yet you're trying to get someone else.
Oh, no, but this other person will make me feel worthy.
It's your flesh, goddammit.
All right, where are you? I lost my place.
It was but a little.
Verse 4.
Yeah.
It was but a little that I passed from him, but I found him who was the soul of it. I held him, and I would not let him go, until I had brought him into my mother's house, and into the chamber of her that was seated.
Okay, where's your mother's house? Here! Okay, groom.
I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roads and by the heights of the field, that you stir
that's what I mean, everybody. Okay, now the chorus. I'm in the chorus. What? Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, ye daughters of Zion, and behold King, the King Solomon, or King of Peace is what it says, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal, and in the day, or this day, of the gladness of his heart. Now you remember, in Hebrew, is to be betrothed is to be engaged. And you were engaged before you ever saw each other. You trusted the wisdom of the mystery that you would be provided because people knew you better than you knew yourself. And so the marriage was arranged. And so the bride never saw who she was marrying. The groom, however, got to look. He got to stand afar off in the midst of the men of the city and see the bride, but she didn't get to know who he was.
She was still covered, though, wasn't she?
Huh?
Wasn't her face covered?
No. Not at this time, I
suppose. No, is that fair? Yeah, just kidding.
Oh, God,
the F there. Remember that?
You just got the switch just turned on again. So anyway, the betrothal takes place on Passover, the empowerment and cleansing on Pentecost, and the marriage supper of the is on Tabernacles. All right, groom.
Behold, there art fair one. Behold, there art fair. Thou hast got thy eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is like a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing, where everyone bears twins, and none is barren among them.
All right, wait a minute. I can't let you read that because you're going to make fun of it, and you don't know what it means, and I'll get pissed off. So that means we're going to quit right here. And we will continue on Tuesday night so that I can explain why all of this is so important. So it isn't just a source of juvenile humor. Anyway, this is a... Before we were severely interrupted, can you get a feeling this might be important?
Yeah. It's really a beautiful movie. I'm sure.
Until we got to the goat. Say big guy.